This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Welcome to What's Brewing, a show about anything and everything Bruin sports. I am your host for part two, Bill Shirley.
F you, Bill.
F me. Yeah.
I had a good drop, too.
F you. You're cool.
I know. I can't wait for the drop for next week. Let me say this.
Okay.
Because I have it, and then I end up going with the Prophets of Rage.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's sitting in the chamber, and it's like.
My God. Do you guys hear this? You guys hear this? All right. Well, enough of this.
Oh, you know what? I do have a fun drop.
No.
To unveil.
Oh, my God.
Can I unveil a drop?
No.
Can I?
No, wait until next week.
Start the show again.
Oh, my God. This
just start the show one more time.
Oh, my God, Jay.
Just play the drop. Just let him play the drop.
Just do your
Let me
see if I have it.
Damn drop.
Bill, start the show again.
Look at this.
Killing me.
Welcome to What's Brewing Show by Anything, Everything, Brewing Sports. I'm your host, Bill Shirley. Oh, hurry up.
Oh, you know, I don't have it. Never mind.
Oh, there you go, Jay.
All right, and here's part two of the show.
It's the game that will be. It's the game that will be, yo. It's the game that will be.
The enemy.
All right, guys, with the game that will be, like we usually do, we start off with trivia. Jake, you actually have some trivia that we care about this week?
Just one.
Okay.
Now it's time for Jake's Trivia, brought to you by Jake, bringing you all the coolest trivia of UCLA football's opponent for this coming week. And now, Jake.
Not a lot of energy spent on trivia this week, but I have an interesting question for you. Oklahoma, one of the westernmost states that's locked into the proverbial Bible Belt. How many
yes.
Bible Belt states can we name off of this list?
Here we go. Oh, off the list.
Name one and you're out.
Name one
and you continue on. So I'm going to start with Bill, then Jamal, then Mike, and come back to Bill.
Okay.
Name a state. Let's see who wins, right? If you can see.
Tennessee.
Tennessee. That is a... Correct. You.
Alabama.
Jamal. Alabama.
Georgia.
What about Mike?
Mike, say Georgia.
Mississippi.
Mississippi. Bill.
Georgia.
Georgia.
Jamal.
Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Texas.
Texas. Oh, yeah.
Kentucky.
Kentucky is a, of course, I think that's there. Yeah.
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
West Carolina. North. North.
Yes, Mike.
I'm going to say, this is getting harder.
There's one trick one in here. There's way more.
Iowa?
Iowa. 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 Bill is out.
Florida.
You're doing good at getting southern states.
Florida.
Yeah, Florida's indeed.
Virginia.
Yes. Virginia, yeah. Jamal?
Well, you have the other one. Just say it.
South Virginia.
I'm going to say West Virginia.
Back to you, Mikey.
There are four right there. What is that? Maryland? That's out. I'm out. No, I'm out. Oh,
Maryland.
Hey now.
Maryland is
hey
a Bible.
Now.
According to Wikipedia.
Fuck Wikipedia.
So that's a clue to you, though. Like, how far north can I go?
Not.
You missed a southern state, at least one. And.
Oh, Louisiana.
Okay. Okay. Right, Mike, right. There's two more available.
I'm going to quote Wayne's World and go, "Hi, I'm in Delaware."
Oh, Mikey, you're.
Bam!
Jamal, last one.
Shit.
Should I give him a hint, Mikey?
No.
I'm absolutely not.
Vermont, say Vermont.
Vermont.
Don't tread on me.
No. Man.
This has turned into a great round of trivia.
Ohio.
No.
And let me tell you.
Missouri?
Mikey's
bam!
Money on
there
this.
There you go. Mason Dixon line, people.
Dude, Mikey knows his Bible Belt.
Hells yeah, I know.
Good
my,
job,
I
Mike.
Know my geography.
And
I'll go toe to toe with people on geography.
Oh yeah, let's see.
Where is it? Istanbul? Not Constantinople.
Wait, Kansas isn't part of that. Missouri's got to be in Kansas.
Hey, how we do this? one more question.
The game's over, Jamal. Hey. You lost.
Eat it. I won, dude.
which Bible Belt state's the most Baptist?
Oh, that's the South. That's let's go Alabama?
Tennessee.
Tennessee, okay.
Jamal, which Bible Belt state is most Pentecostal?
Ooh. South, Jamal, South.
The vast majority of these are
now.
Baptist, by
don't
the way. Baptist is by far away.
Sorry.
I'm going to say Georgia.
Kentucky is still Southern state, so that's fine. Okay, there's your Bible Belt trivia. Okay, let's move on. Oklahoma in the Bible Belt. Thank you. Bill?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jake, for that trivia.
Let's talk about how
and
the Bruins are going to do.
Yeah, how much we're going to lose by. So the books, Vegas has us as 22.5-point underdogs. I'm taking the over. That's just me. It's actually going to be on a station we all can watch. Box.
Oh, it's not just you. I did a poll. I just asked a simple question. What are your predictions?
Oh, yeah, Mike, give us the predictions.
Yeah.
I wanted to tally this and do some scientific research, statistics, all this good stuff, but people just kept rolling. So, I mean, they're still tweeting out their predictions, and then some of them became pretty hilarious. But, the majority of the predictions had Oklahoma winning by more than 22.5 points. The best one that I saw.
There's a lot of infinity signs.
Infinity to -12. That was the best
awesome.
One. Something like that. But here's
bet.
A quick trivia for you. Of all of these replies, how many had the Mr. T. Clever Lang pain response?
That was one
way. I'm going to take your guess.
Wait,
price it. How many people responded with that Clever Lang gift?
I'm Peter the Fool!
Closest to it without going over, Price is Right rules?
I would say, percentage-wise, you mean?
Just number, straight up.
Just
straight
number.
25.
Okay.
Way too high.
Bill.
Yeah, I was going to say 13 or
Bill.
Something.
Way too high.
Bill. Really?
Jake.
4.
You're all over. The answer was 3.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, really? I thought when I posted, I was like, this is going to be redundant. There's going to be like 13
of those. Yours was the last one.
I'm not on social media, so F you, Jake.
Yeah.
I have no idea how many people.
It's just Bill.
It's
Bill.
I have a point.
He's right. He has a point.
I have a point, so F you. I don't know what the hell's going on.
I mean, that's the point right there.
On social media.
That's the point. How are we going to tell a tape here?
Wait a minute. Yeah, bet the over, but it might not be as bad as some. I saw like 50 to 10. Somebody posted 70 to 3. It's not going to be that bad. Nevada lost to Oregon 70 to 7. UCLA is not Nevada.
Oklahoma. 59.5 points a game. UCLA? Easy. Easy math.
14.
Points allowed per game. Oklahoma, 22.5. UCLA, 23.5. Hey, look, their defenses are lining right up with each other. This is perhaps the most lopsided stat I've ever seen. Total offense or total yards.
Oh, this is
Oklahoma,
painful.
710 rounding up.
With a balanced run pass.
Yeah. It's 377 and 332.
Yeah.
UCLA, 240 rounded up.
Yeah.
240 to 710.
Good times.
My
awesome.
God. And yards allowed, 378, 395 is, once again, fairly similar. The one thing you'd have to say as a silver lining for the Bruins taking on Oklahoma is that if you look at the quality of opponents both teams have faced, UCLA, we think, has played possibly a better schedule. But I would make the argument that it's about the same. When you talk about Houston and South Dakota is, it's an FBS or FCS team or whatever.
They're good, though, for an FCS. But they're still FCS.
I mean, FCS.
Good-ish.
I don't know. Like, if we would have said after week one, we would definitely have said, oh, yeah, Cincinnati's a way better team than Houston. Right up until Cincinnati got beat like 77 or 54 to nothing or whatever it was, 42 to nothing by Ohio State. So it's like, it's funny, you want to fall back on that. Well, UCLA lost to two pretty good group of five schools, but then San Diego State beat freaking Weber State 6-0.
Yes.
And Cincinnati lost to Ohio State 42 to nothing. So the whole strength schedule thing, I mean, to me, it's kind of a wash. And so that's another thing. It's like I started with the silver lining, and maybe not so much. But, Oklahoma beat South Dakota State 70-14 and Houston 49-31. A couple of factors that may play in UCLA's favor is Oklahoma's still trying to break in their offensive line. They're new on both guards and tackles. And
that means nothing to UCLA.
Why not, Bill?
Because we can put
– Talking to the mic, Bill.
We can put – pressure on no one. There is no pressure on a quarterback, no matter how many people we bring.
True, but they can plug the
gaps.
That's
only half the game. So,
they
I mean,
can plug the gaps.
You know, if they can, you know, Oklahoma's been a fairly balanced offense so far, although I think some of that balance is kind of produced by Jalen Hurts running the ball, you know, not in traditional run. But
Jamal's look says it all. Jake, I understand you're trying to give nice data on this. You did your work. You did your research. But come on, dude. No one's listening to this going, oh yeah, UCLA might have a come on, Jake. We all know what the outcome. We do. But I appreciate all your hard work.
Why do you even come to these things? I'm just curious.
I love you guys. I told you that. I say this all the time.
I mean, like, every time. It's like, we love you a little less.
He comes for the good times and the booze.
He doesn't drink.
And the jelly beans.
I had some jelly beans. But
comes over. He, like, breaks out in hives.
I do.
Jake,
I'm just saying. Seriously, Jake. Seriously. Nobody's listening going, oh, we're going to. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe we could get some. Come on.
I don't know. He kind of just turned me right now. I'm just hey, well.
Okay.
Really, I'm
fair and square. Fair and square.
Really,
I'll shut up.
I'm more pointing out reasons why it may not be 70-2, but, you know.
50-10.
The effort to cover. Let's call that. Okay. The effort to cover.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you know, that's
really
all
we have at this point.
Yeah. Fine, Bill. What's your prediction?
I'd say.
No. Last year, they turned this game into a moral victory for the Bruins in a season.
I remember our podcast.
Opened up 0-5, right?
Yes.
So this year, what would it take for us to look at this game in a positive light, considering they lost 49-21 last year, and that game they were down 21-7, and they were down 35-7 before scoring a couple points and then in a couple touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They were down 35-7 last time.
For this to be a
moral
victory,
and we turn
into
a moral victory.
I'd say we lose by a field goal.
Okay.
That'd be an awesome
That's
moral
fair.
Victory.
What if they lost by 7?
Okay. I'm just saying, yes.
What if they lost by 10?
No.
I'm with Bill. It'd have to be something like where
closer.
Oklahoma wins on a last-minute field goal.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay.
Because even if it was like they lose by
6. Or even if UCLA was pressuring, they were, let's say, Oklahoma's up by 10 with 2 minutes left and UCLA gets a field goal. Putting fear, not so much, you know, that being down by two scores isn't, you know,
the game's
that's not,
in
that's not UCLA's
the game's still in the
right
balance
now,
in the fourth
yes.
quarter.
Yes,
yeah,
that's what
I mean.
That's,
but that's not what you mean. You said
I want,
a field goal.
No, I want specific. Okay, a field goal to win it and a game being in the balance in the fourth quarter are the same. Okay, mine's more specific than yours. Yours is vague. Mine is very specific.
I didn't say that was mine.
Okay? That's what I'm saying for mine is a field goal. For me to feel a moral victory.
Now, I gotta go with Bill here. Quentin Tarantino is not a good director.
That's a good one, Mike. Yes.
Oh, my God. That's good. My God. Silver linings, people. Hashtag silver linings.
Yes, that's mine. That's mine. Jamal, what is your moral victory?
No, I agree with Bill. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking in my head if they won a game. Like if Oklahoma won a game 30-27, let's say. And it was in the last minute, you know, like where UCLA's holding on or, you know, UCLA blew a 2-touchdown lead or something like that. That
kind of like that Stanford game from a couple years
right.
ago. Where
God, it'd be something where, like, for a second there, you thought UCLA was going to win the game and Oklahoma's talent overwhelmed them.
Yeah.
But it'd have to be close. It couldn't be something where, like, last year where, you know, UCLA picked up some garbage points and they looked better. Or, like, I think it was the third quarter where it was still maybe a touchdown to go or something like that. They made the comeback. But I think it'd have to be. A moral victory is definitely a close loss.
I think everything what you guys are saying is very fair. However, I really think there's no doubt that if the Bruins somehow manage to kind of go punch for punch with Oklahoma for a quarter, two quarters, three quarters, and let's say it's something like 24-21 at the end of three, or it's, you know, it's something like that, and then in the fourth quarter, Oklahoma kind of pulls away, I guarantee you all of us next week are going to be sitting there going, but look at how much better they look. Not to say that it'll be right or justified.
You're not wrong.
You know? But that's all.
We did that last year.
So, you know, and last year wasn't even that good. They were down 35-7.
Yeah.
And then they scored a couple touchdowns and we're like, oh my God, look how much better they looked. You know, so I think that, and your point is very well taken, Bill, is that in order for it to be like a quote unquote moral victory, it would have to be something where the game's in the balance in the final moments and they, you know, just kind of slips away from them.
Sure.
But at the same time, there's a, in a game where we're all pretty much resigned to the fact that the Bruins are going to be 0-3 and we're going to be ringing the bell three times. You know, after this, you know, when this game is concluded, there's an opportunity here for them to show improvement, right? Especially when you talk about Oklahoma's supposed to be, even though they haven't proved it yet, supposed to be better on defense. If UCLA can actually get their offense churning against this team, even though they're supposed to be revamped with what's the guy's name from Washington State, Grinch, new Grinch defense. If they can kind of get themselves going a little bit against Oklahoma, that's going to be something where at least some of us that aren't completely, some of the fans that aren't completely checked out, can maybe like, okay, well, maybe we'll pay attention for next week, you know. Yeah. But it's got to be something like that. And if God help them if it's like as bad as it could be.
50-0. What about
if it's something like that?
50-0 has already happened to us.
That's when
by the
narrative.
Way. Okay.
Don't bring it up.
It could get worse.
I'm just saying, it's already happened.
That's when the narrative continues to spin out of control, right? And you're going to hear, like this week, we got 20 stories of, oh, the Bruins are done and Chip Kelly's done and, oh, Chip Kelly's washed up and da 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 da. If that happens on the national stage on Fox, God help all the I mean, we're just not gonna be able to like watch any sort of sports for the next 2 months.
Until basketball, Mike. Until basketball.
Well, I was gonna say hockey comes up before basketball, but then yeah, there's all that.
Forgot that. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, let's get out. Let's
predictions. Get, pain. What?
Already. Oh, you want the actual? I thought. Okay. So prediction is
predictions.
We gotta keep
them.
I would say 45-10, Oklahoma.
49-17. Damn it.
Say three, Jamal.
No, he's not going to be that cruel.
49-3.
Look at
that. Dang.
Jamal's expecting the woodshed. Mikey, what about you?
55-24. Oklahoma.
55-24. When did they score those?
No, UCLA. You really have to.
Just in case. Just in case Vegas is listening really, to this podcast, I need to clarify.
That was awesome. No clarification needed, brother. That's Oklahoma, by the way. Really, dude?
Jake.
Oh, my God. Oh, gee whiz.
See, we still have fun here. Jake, what's your prediction?
38-31.
Wow.
Eat a big one.
I'm stupid. I'm stupid.
That is so
not
happening.
Last week I predicted 2-0. So I'm gonna.
We still have 4 days until the game. You can change your score if you want.
unless the Oklahoma team all gets Ebola.
Mike,
yeah.
Do we have any idea if Theo Howard's gonna play? We have no idea still, right? Do we have any idea if Darnay Holmes is going to play?
I heard Darnay was practicing today, by the way.
But I heard he still had an ankle sprain.
You know, I guess it's still affecting him, but from what I've seen, he's able to plant his foot in the ground. He's able to make quick cuts. He looks pretty quick. He's still he's going through drills, but you know, we reported the same thing last week. And the only thing that gives me hope for Theo Howard is that his cast/rap is getting smaller and smaller. So,
look, to get back to my prediction, yeah. I'm going to stick with 38-31, and I think that if they're ever going to show something, it's going to be this game.
Sorry, Jake.
F off. It's going to be this game where they can, you know, because like I said, they hit a pretty big freaking low, and I don't think if they don't show anything this game, then God help them when they go to the Palouse. And then God help
him. Are we going?
F you, Bill. So, you know, whatever. It's wishful thinking, 38-31.
All right. Well, let's get on to what Jamal wants to talk about. Freaking Cal winning with Pac-12 talk. California. Really? Can you turn it up, Jake?
That was the highlight of our weekend.
Jamal, you didn't even stay up to watch the damn game.
No. I fell asleep after the first quarter because it was 11 o'clock at night.
Why? What was this? It was a storm?
It was an almost 3-hour delay.
It was a lightning storm. It was supposed to start at 7:30, and then they came out and they said first it was going to be a morning game, and then Peterson, the Washington coach, came out and said, nope, we're going to play at 10:30. So I guess he didn't want to play in the morning. And then I fell asleep after the first quarter, woke up, and I saw Mike had texted me that Cal had gone up 17-13 in the third quarter. So that was at 12:30 at night. 12:30 at night. I went to bed. And I thought to myself, well, I'll check my phone in the morning. And yeah, I got an alert like at 5 o'clock in the morning about Cal winning. So
you wake up like, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a holy shit, you know.
That's so cool.
I mean, it's okay.
He woke up, saw his phone, and says, honey, I'll be back.
Yeah.
I need to strut.
I mean, it's okay. They still were barely better than Cal on offense. And then, of course, awesome on defense. So that's the formula. Be good on defense. Hope the offense doesn't screw it up. I mean,
I wish we were there.
I wish we had one side of the ball that was awesome.
Yeah. So
the run defense is pretty good.
Eat a big one, Jake.
Hey, and what's his?
You got one aspect of one side of the ball. Sort
Luke,
of.
I just want to call him Luke Weaver, but that's not right. Yeah, it is Luke Weaver. Got named National Defensive Player of the Week for his performance against Washington.
So, you know what
I did think? I was like, great, this screws up the Pac-12.
That's what I was just about to ask. Now no one's going to get in a playoff. No one's going to the playoff.
Unless Utah goes undefeated, I don't think anyone's going to the playoff now.
I need to revise my prediction, Mike.
All right.
35-31. I forgot Oklahoma's got no kicking game and horrible special teams, even worse than the Bruins.
Oh, my God.
35-31. They're going to miss three field goals.
Okay. Back Thank to you, you, Jamal.
Wow.
Jamal. Jesus Christ.
That is breaking
35-31.
God.
Could happen. Miracles happen. Somebody married me, so miracles happen. That's what I thought was they screwed up the Pac-12 because now it looks like, Cal's just got a sucky offense. They might win six games still, even after winning the first two games. And it's going to look like, even if Washington loses, if this is Washington's only loss,
they're still not good enough.
They're not going to be good enough.
Yeah.
Now we just hope for Utah.
Yeah. Utah's got to go undefeated now.
Which Cal Whittingham can never do.
Right.
So we're done.
Yeah.
So the Pac-12.
No playoffs.
Thank you, Jamal.
Way to go, Cal. You screwed up. You not only screwed up one game, you screwed up a whole conference. Way to go. I mean, it just coming off of Oregon losing to Auburn the week before, I mean, that's going to be the narrative.
Oregon's still out there.
Somebody tweeted it out. It's like,
oh, you think Oregon could make it if they win everything because of how they played against Auburn? They didn't get their asses handed to them. They almost won the game. So you're thinking if they only had one loss,
Pac-12 team has one loss, they'll be in the picture. They might get jumped by, depending on how the rest of it plays out.
No, but if
a Pac-12 team, whether it's Utah, Oregon, whatever, if they have one loss, they'll be in the picture. I guarantee it. They'll be in the picture.
I just think because of the SEC, that Oregon might have more weight. Even though they lost to them, how they lost to them might go, well, you know, they have one loss, but they lost.
It's the SEC,
so that's strong. And that how they played.
But just look at how it's played out in the last, like, 3-4 years. There hasn't been a Pac-12 team with one loss. But if they had, they'd be right in the conversation. I don't know, whatever.
We'll see. Jamal,
congratulations, Jamal.
Yeah, Jamal, that's awesome. Jamal. What do you guys think about SC beating Stanford? Something that we haven't done in how many times, Mike?
11 times.
11 times.
11 freaking times.
Totally.
Jake, is this the year? Said no one ever.
Honestly, Stanford's not looking great either. It could be the year.
Well, no, Stanford
imagine
isn't.
That. Imagine
Costello
that.
Is going to be back
can
by
you,
the time they play us.
Can you
way.
Imagine that? That would be such a typical UCLA thing that they
beat them this year?
They go 1-11. And the one win is against Stanford.
I think Jake and I would be sort of happy, though. I think we'd be like, Stanford, eat it!
For 365 days, we will own the Cardinals.
Own them! Own them!
But that's not going to happen.
I know it's not. They're going to work us.
Isn't it just Clay Helton falling up? I mean, he never picks the right starting quarterback, and then when he's forced to bring in the backup, it works out for him.
It does.
Lane Kiffin 2.0?
He's not a douchebag like Lane, though. He's actually a nice guy. So he's failing up, but he's not like, no one hates Clay. You don't hear people like, oh, that guy's horrible.
Oh, there are people that hate Clay. There are
you
people
listen
that
to
hate
Troy.
Clay.
You don't listen to What's Brewing. You should listen to Rain Troy.
Yeah. Okay, people hate Clay. I'm sorry. I'll take that back. Sorry, you guys.
Only in the fan base.
Oh, the fan base? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, we love him. Hashtag extend help.
But here's the deal, man. If this Slovis is a real deal, I mean, what do you do?
I mean, if they win another, like if SC goes on to win the conference title.
Yeah, what do you do?
Like, I mean, all the Stan Helton stuff, I mean, he's won two conference titles. At that point, it's like, you know, he's just as bad as any other USC coach.
Yeah, and it would be another BCS bowl game, so that'd be three.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
This
is a shot.
But you know me. I always root against Stanford, so I was happy to watch them get their asses handed to them. And all the Stanford media people that I follow on Twitter bitching and moaning about fans tell them to fuck off. So, yeah, fuck off.
Oh, okay. Well, very good. Well, very good.
2 weeks into the season, and we've already...
I know. It's already F-U. F-U! What do you guys think about good old Swanee leaving?
F-U. Leaving. You're cool.
You're cool.
What do you guys think about that?
That's
leaving, fired, whatever you want to call it, but he's not the AD.
You know, that was it was just a matter of time. But the fact that they're cleaning house, the first
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, if they clean house and put themselves on the right direction, USC could be very, very powerful once again, and that would be bad. And this was my first thought when Lynn Swann, quote unquote, resigned, effective immediately. I thought about UCLA and where is UCLA going? Sure that they've built the facilities. They brought in Cronin, they bought in Kelly, but Kelly, as we just said, is not going in the direction we hope. Cronin still has to
get to the chopper!
Prove something.
I mean, yeah, to Kelly, not to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, I just started, dude. Relax. My rants usually take about 15 minutes. I'm only 2 minutes in. But no, this is... Dan Grohl's last year before he retires, unless he, you know, decides to
seriously,
stay
is it really?
Apparently, he's supposed to, his tenure will end at the end of the school year. So UCLA has to make a very solid decision about who they are going to have succeed.
Lynn Swann's available.
Yes.
We should go after him. but that decision is going to... with whoever USC brings in as the athletic director and whoever brings in UCLA as the athletic director, that is going to set both schools on a certain path. And right now, the fact that USC is – and it's been a long time coming. They should have cleaned house a long time ago, but they want to keep it as – you know, keep it within their circle. But who is the president again, the new one?
Carol
Foltz.
Carol Foltz. The fact, you know, just listening to talk radio the last couple of days, this is just a start. Apparently, there's going to be a lot of people being replaced at USC, and you know, and good for them if they have someone if they have a smart leader that can come in and say, we're changing this, we're changing this. If you want to do better here, if you don't want to make this the boys' club that it has been for the last 20 years, these are the changes we're going to make, and we are going to make them. That's dangerous for UCLA because if UCLA cannot get their crap together, then we are in danger of just having more mediocrity.
You know, here's the problem, though, is that, you know, and I think your point's well taken, Mike, but at the same time, it's like on the field, the Bruins have been terrible so far, and it's not turning out the way we planned, anybody envisioned.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that is that for the last couple of years, the last two coaching hires have been unimpeachable. Like in the moment, right? Like
yeah.
Cronin, even though the search was really wacky, now they got Cronin, looks like they might have a pretty good guy. I guess that's misstating it, right? The search for basketball is kind of wacky, but it seemed like it turned out all right. And
yeah.
It looks like they have the basketball hopefully is on solid footing. Football is a freaking mess, but the process for that was terrific. Right? They cut Mora when they had to get the guy that they wanted.
And got the guy that everybody wanted.
So if football doesn't work out under Kelly, then hopefully they don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and they keep the process there and they go out and they make a solid hire, right? But, I mean, I don't think that just because USC gets themselves back together doesn't mean that it's necessarily a horrible thing for the Bruins. The Bruins need to take care of their own business. And I'm hoping that... whether Kelly works out or not down the line, I think we still have at least another 2 years, 2 or 3 years before. You know, that's the one thing, too. We're all grousing about Kelly, but it's completely out of all of our hands. Like, because they're not going to get rid of him, you know, barring some sort of scandal for the next couple of years. But you would have to hope that they, even though they didn't get the results they wanted, they have to know that they did things the right way, and hopefully they continue to do things the right way. And if they do, there's room for USC and UCLA to both have quality athletics on the West Coast in the Pac-12.
It's happened before.
It's happened before, and hopefully it'll happen again, really. And quite frankly, it needs to happen because I'm getting sick. I think we're all getting sick of the Pac-12 being an embarrassment, and USC and UCLA being down is a huge part of that, and just our schools not performing to the levels that they need to be performing at, you know, and I know Raina Troy would agree with that. Your average Trojan fan would agree with that. Your average Bruin fan would agree with that, I would think.
I think in terms of UCLA, it would be great if...
And FCAL.
You know what? I think in terms of UCLA, I don't know how much it'll affect them because you know there are two different spheres.
Even in
their two money sports, basketball and football. But it would I'd like to echo Jake's sentiments. It would be nice that across the board that there would be a real rivalry between the two schools in terms of competition, where it's back and forth. So that it, you know, people are excited about going to Galen Center and Pauley Pavilion. People are excited about going to Rose Bowl and the Coliseum for these kind of games and everything in between, whether it's women's soccer to you know, whatever else they compete in, women's basketball, you know, softball, whatever else they compete in.
Not softball, but yeah.
But whatever, you know, baseball, whatever else they compete in across the other sports as well.
Record levels of irrelevancy
right
now. And that's not good.
It's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
Well, guys, this is
I love LA.
Oh, wait, I have that. Hold on. This is Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly, listen. Listen close. We love LA. We love LA. We love LA. Chip loves LA.
Wow.
Chip, that's we love LA. One of the worst drops you've ever had.
But it's Chip Kelly saying we love LA. We love LA.
I know what the problem is. He talks at 10 times the speed, and the guys don't understand what's going on.
And by the way, I listen everything at 2x speed. That's Chip talking normal speed.
That's the problem. They don't understand.
So imagine when I was actually listening to that. It wasn't. It was. And I'm like, wait, what did he say?
Hey, I can say the alphabet in a second.
It's like Farmer Fran in with the Water Boy. No one understands what he's saying. That's the problem.
You can do it.
Chip Kelly can kind of be a
that's
dick.
Is that Farmer Fran or no? That's the other guy. Listen, guys, my favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
What's brewing with you?
What's brewing with you? You ask me. What's brewing with me? Yeah. What's brewing with you? What's brewing with me? What's brewing with you?
All right, guys. I'm going to start off with Jamal. Jamal, what's brewing with you, bro?
So last week I dropped the fact that I'm now a paid contributor. You know, and I went by real quick, but really, my sentiment for bringing it up and what's brewing is... the fact that
that was inadvertent. Sorry,
is the fact that,
hurry up,
that,
Jamal.
That, that was you guys are always so goddamn supportive. Always so goddamn supportive.
F you, Jamal.
And I couldn't have gotten there without you guys. My daughter.
You're milking this for two fucking what's Bruins?
No, my daughter. I was just adding that because that was a phone call.
We love you, Jamal.
My daughter turned 4 years old.
Yay!
Sunday, we had a Peppa Pig party for her.
Peppa Pig. I love Peppa Pig.
It's September birthdays rock.
And
the day after.
Too much Peppa Pig for my taste. But it's just nice, you know? I think I dropped my what's brewing 1 year was when we found out that she was coming. And I'm sure one of my what's brewing was when she came. And, you know, every birthday after that. And I always enjoy coming on the show and bragging about both kids. And, so happy birthday, Camille, when she listens to this on some archive in some apocalyptic world sometime.
That's right.
Yeah.
Far, far away from here.
Pretty cool.
So what's brewing with you guys?
That's right. Mike, what's brewing with you?
I have not had a lot of time to do anything other than work with Bro and cover UCLA football. But... finally managed to get in some quality TV time. I started watching Glow.
Fleabag?
I think I got to get into that. Glow, I'm about 4 or 5 episodes
Glow
into
the... Glow
is
really good this year.
It is, and I really want to see it.
That show's
only
gotten
better. I
just have
not had, you know, that much time.
Very good show.
But the Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance came
out.
Yeah,
I started watching it, and I want to get the boys to watch it.
Yeah, that's what I did this weekend.
He came into the house talking about Dark Crystal.
The kids and I, the kids and I have been watching it. Violet and Poppy are into it. Hugo's like, it's okay, cool.
Is it as creepy as the original?
It is, okay. And it's so much darker, especially since you know what happens, and especially the first episode. There's just a lot of stuff where my jaw dropped. I'm like, what? So
hold on, not to have any spoilers.
Uh-huh.
You don't reveal any spoilers. Raise your hands, once again, audio medium. Raise your hands if you remember anything about the plot of The Dark Crystal.
Yo.
Like if I quizzed you on
dude,
it.
I saw The Dark Crystal a million times.
I know nothing about it.
But
literally.
I know this is a prequel. This is the prequel.
It's a prequel.
No. But like you could tell Mike is into it because
oh, this
like
is one of
I
my
remember the Dark Crystal.
Kid,
I remember
yeah.
some visuals.
I just remember,
I remember
Bowie,
nothing about
it.
What it was.
I don't remember what
well,
it was.
Well, here's the
about.
Thing. I mean,
Bowie
it's,
was Labyrinth, bro.
It is. Oh. And well,
God damn it,
all
Jamal.
Of that. All of that.
I don't remember crap from this movie.
All of that, where Jim Henson, came from the Jim Henson production company.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they brought this back for not just a movie, but 10 1-hour episodes, I was just like, what? And just to be able to, you know, the first episode, the fact that they brought in the original puppets, and you can tell that they're puppets, you know, the way that they move their mouths, a little odd, and you're just like, what's happening? But to be in that original
medium
mind space, that medium from the original Dark Crystal that
start
came
with
out
the puppets
in
1982.
Yeah, and they do have a lot of CG too, which I like, and that mixture is really good. But the first two episodes already have me really intrigued, and it's just it's really good. But knowing what happens, you're just like, oh, this is just gonna suck in the end. But I'm so addicted to this right now. I'm making time for the Dark Crystal.
I may
right
jump
now.
Into it. We'll yeah. see. Billy B.
Bill, what's brewing with you?
I'm motivated again. I started building my bench.
Is it the wood we went and bought?
The what?
The wood we went and bought.
Yes.
So quickly forget.
I know. I forgot it. Yes.
Jerk.
Yes. I'm sorry, Jake. I'm sorry for forgot about our time together with wood. So
it's very firm wood we picked
very
out.
Very firm wood, plywood. Yes, I am motivated and I'll hopefully be done by this weekend. I'm excited to be back. You know, so you just have, you go through. At least I go through phases with my woodworking.
No,
I
what?
Do.
Well, you go through phases.
I do. I go through phases with my woodworking. I get all like antsy pantsy. I do a lot of them when I have money. I mean, it's cost to do this, and right now I have a little bit of money and I'm motivated, so I'm doing it. It's good. Jake, what's going on with you? What's brewing with you?
Watch this show.
Jake. Watch is too much TV. No one can get through to him. Jake, I really hope you know that Doctor Who is fake. Jake, there's more to life than Sherlock, just to fight a new girl. Wait.
No, there's not.
Mike did such a good job with that.
You can tell how old this drop is in that last line. Justified, new girl.
I know. Hey, what's Bruin Show? 6 years and running. I mean, this, you know, Doomsday is going to spell the end of it, but I mean, it was a hell of a 6 years. Real quick. Bill, get ready to end the show, but I already mentioned it. Fleabag, you got to watch it. My new freaking crush, Phoebe Walker Bridge, whatever the hell her name is. Phoebe Waller-Bridge. She's amazing. Fleabag's amazing. It's a show that is just horribly dirty, amazingly funny, and terrifically sentimental by the time you get to the end of the run. And it's such a good show. And when it comes, it was originally a Broadway, or it was originally a
one-person
theatrical
okay.
show thing. And it's playing, or it was playing in New York in the spring. And I'm really hoping that it comes out to Los Angeles at some point. But I can't recommend it. It was such a good show. And now I'm on to another show she wrote, which is the Killing Eve show. It was on AMC.
Yes.
And I'm three episodes in that, and that was very
yes,
good.
Yes, that, ooh.
And also, Mike.
That's good.
If you didn't know, the droid in Han Solo that becomes the soul of the Millennium Falcon, mm-hmm. same gal. That's her. That's the actress who played the droid, just right, to put it in context right. for you.
Never saw that movie.
I know, because you're a dick. But you would love Fleabag. I guarantee you, Bill, you can't watch a show and not love it, but it's terrific, and so I say watch that show. I'm done.
Well, thank you. Thank you to Jamal for making it this week and not saving lives. I can't imagine how many people are dying because you're not there right now. But
it happens.
It happens. But as always,
you
thank
you.
You
say the same thing about me when I actually work for a living.
When you actually work for a living? That's funny. When you actually do. That's I don't know when that does happen.
When he decides to.
When he decides to.
No, I'm saving in mines. But, after saving lives.
I just threw up in my mouth. All right, guys. So thank you so much. And as always, go Bruins!
Good evening.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Size doesn't necessarily matter if you want it hard enough.
Thank you for your cooperation.
The final word is boob.